Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, joins me as my colleague and co-host. We're going to Syria. We welcome Ahmad Sharari of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, a story in Syria that has connections to Hezbollah, certainly Hezbollah to Iran. But it's very strange. It has to do with an attempted assassination, attempted mass assassination. The headline, Syria reports neutralizing Hezbollah plot to assassinate senior officials. Ahmed, a very good evening to you. Hezbollah assassinating the Syrian leadership. The Syrian leadership consists of the self-elected president of Iran, of Syria, al-Shara, and his government is made up often of former al-Qaeda or ISIS members, depending on their age and persuasion, who came with him when they took possession of the capital one afternoon, one day, Damascus, and have since then been doing very successful networking in the region. However, what is in it for Hezbollah to assassinate Syrian officials? How does Hezbollah gain, given the trouble they have at home with the Israelis and given the trouble that their master Iran has? What's the advantage? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So Hezbollah was an ally of the Assad regime during the civil war, and they actually came in to support him and took part in a lot of the atrocities that were committed during the war. But one reason for why Hezbollah is doing this at the moment is they relied on Syrian territory to rearm themselves, and there was a logistical corridor for them for weapons. And so they've, since the fall of the regime, they have sought to destabilize Syria by a lot of these plots. This was the first plot that aimed to target government officials, but there were previous attempts to incite sectarian tensions in some areas around Syria. There were reports that Hezbollah was training insurgents that were tied to the Assad regime. And there were also cells that were attempting to attack Israel that were neutralized a few weeks ago by the Syrian forces. So this is one example of Hezbollah's attempt to re-entrench itself in Syria, in order to rebuild or I would say restart the weapon corridor that they had prior to the fall of the regime.
So this isn't about taking over the government. This is about resupplying Hezbollah. And because Syria has been interdicting certain shipments, they felt that they had to eliminate the leadership. Did that include al-Shara? Was he also a target?
The Syrian government did not put out specifics on who the targets were. But when they say senior government officials, it's most likely government cabinet level positions, if not Shara himself. I mean, last year in 2025, there were at least five attempted assassinations for Shara. Most of them were connected to ISIS. I wouldn't be surprised if Hezbollah was also attempting to do that just to incite more chaos and instability in the country.
Bill, you have a question for Ahmad.
Hello, Ahmad. When the Taliban took over Afghanistan in 2021, it sold itself as a viable counterterrorism partner and said that it would be a good partner to take on the Islamic State, even though the two were enemies and they were fighting anyway. Is the Assad regime, I'm sorry, the Shara regime, the Syrian government, are they positioning themselves as being a viable counterterrorism partner against the Islamic State, against Hezbollah, just as the Taliban has done in Afghanistan?
So, yes, they are doing that with ISIS. Of course, in November, the Syrians joined the anti-ISIS mission. But after that, we saw that attack that killed the U.S. serviceman by a Syrian government soldier, who they claimed was part of ISIS, but ISIS never actually claimed the attack. But I think the story differs when it comes to Hezbollah, mainly because the Syrians are reacting to a foreign group that is attempting to entrench itself within their territory. Despite this Hezbollah cell being composed of Syrians, they were trained in Lebanon and they were acting on the orders of Hezbollah. And because of that history between the two groups, because of the sectarian relationship, the fact that Hezbollah is a Shia group and the Syrian government is mainly led by Sunnis, I think it differs a bit. And they're not really trying to market themselves as anti-Hezbollah because they're framing it as a national security concern. And they're only reacting to a group that seeks to entrench itself in their territory.
You report that there have been routine Hezbollah-linked shipments for 2 years now, since December 2024, and many of them have been interdicted, and they're not minor weapons, IED makings, for example, anti-tank missiles. This is something that would not happen at Hezbollah's direction. This would be Tehran's direction. And so has Iran decided to take over Syria, to exit, to get rid of Shara and his government, not just for a corridor, but for the whole country?
Well, I mean, I think Iran has bigger fish to fry at the moment. But this is not necessarily linked to Iran, the state itself. Hezbollah doesn't need its proxies to act on the ground for it to get weapons. It just needs to financially compensate individuals within Syria that will help transfer the weapons. And so they're just relying on old smugglers that existed during Assad's days and continue to exist until today to deliver these weapons. You just need someone to transport the weapons from the Iraqi border to the Lebanese border. And because of what's happening with Iran at the moment, I don't think the focus is on Syria. But of course, Iran does have ambitions. I mean, there's a reason why they supported Assad during the 14 years of the civil war, and of course they would prefer that the Shara government is ousted in order to rebuild that proxy network within Syria and Lebanon and connect that to Iraq. But for now, I think what Hezbollah is doing is it's depending on local cells to get those weapons.
Bill, you have a question. We have about a minute.
Yes, quickly, there's been some protests reported in the Kurdish regions of Syria. What is the impact of that? What caused this?
So what's been happening is that the SDF, the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces, there's been move to integrate them into the Syrian government. The Syrian government is trying to assert authority over some of these areas that were held by the SDF, for example, in Hasaka. This all started because of a sign that was put on the one of the courts in Hasaka that had the sign was written in Arabic and English, and the Kurds demanded that there needs to be a Kurdish sign as well. And I think the sign was changed 6 times. At some point, it was just Arabic, and then it was Arabic and Kurdish, and then the Kurds removed the word Arab from the Syrian Arab Republic. So it's been continuing for about a week, but the whole issue is because of a sign that did not have Kurdish.
Ahmed, does Hezbollah gain if Shara is dead?
Yes, Hezbollah gains from the instability if Shara is dead or if he's ousted. Again, mainly because they'd like to restart or rebuild that corridor and benefit from it more. And they understand that the only way they can do this is by inciting chaos and instability.
And Iran, does it gain if Shara is dead?
Yes, Iran also gains from the instability because it also wants to or also seeks to empower and rearm Hezbollah.
So what we have here is a man who has a target on his back, and the target is ordered by two very powerful players of asymmetrical warfare. Is all that correct? He knows this. Does he conduct himself accordingly?
Well, he's surviving until now, but I mean, all you need is someone, is even a rogue element within his own armed forces or security personnel that would shoot him. And I don't think there's a contingency plan in Syria yet.
That doesn't sound like stability. Does he have a successor? Anybody ever talked about a succession to him?
Not yet, but I mean, a likely successor would be the foreign minister, but I don't think they've ever officially talked about this.
I'm not talking about a subject. Is this subject unacceptable? I mean, the logic is in place that if he was gone, they would have the run of the place, whoever they are. Is that something they talk about in Syria?
Not really, but I think a lot of people talk about how killing him would mean that. I mean, despite the massacres that happened, a lot of people think that if Shara is killed or if his government is ousted, that the sectarian strife and civil war will return to Syria and we'll see more instability.
Ahmed Shaarawy of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, FDD. I'm John Batt.